And I want to begin with you in Psalm 34 up to verse 4. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. The psalmist David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I hope you've learned to be able to bless the Lord at all times. That means good times, that means difficult times, that means lonely times, fearful times, times of struggle, and everything in between. We learn to bless the Lord whichever state we may find ourselves in. His praise, David said, shall continually be in my mouth. I want to just ask you for a moment this morning, do you bless the Lord at all times, and is his praise continually in your mouth? Do you find the praises of God continually in your mouth as you bless the Lord on a continual basis, not for what you don't have, but for what you do have? For the goodness and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God in our lives, day after day after day. For the breath in our lungs and for the strength in our limbs today, that we can rise out of bed and we can do the things that we had to do before we got to this very place this morning. Bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, because we come to the place where we realize and acknowledge, if it were not for God, the very simplistic things that we take for granted this morning, like rolling out of bed and putting our feet on the ground, would not be possible if it were not for God. The Creator of the heavens and the earth, He is a good, good Father. Amen? My soul shall make boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Let's magnify His name. Let's exalt His name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that good news? You have come to the right place today, because we have a God who hears. We have a God who hears our need. We have a God who listens to the beckoning of our call. We have a God that's right there. The Bible says He sticks closer than a brother. We have a God who's right there that meets our needs according to His. It's not according to your bank account. It's not according to your bank account. It's according to the riches of glory. It's about when we put our feet to the things of God. It's when we put our hands to the plow of God's Word that the things of God begin to manifest in our life. He is our ever-present help. Amen? Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5. There it is again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And then it reiterates, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not. How many of you forget things? You ever forget anything? I forget things all the time. I don't want to. I don't try to. But it just seems like, I don't know, maybe it's the busyness and hecticness of life. We can forget things. My wife will say to me sometimes, Sean, how can you forget that? I just said that. How could we get in the car and from the garage to the dumpster, you forget to throw the garbage in the dumpster. And by the time we get wherever we're going, I say, what's that smell? It's the garbage you forgot to throw in the dumpster. I don't know how I forget it. You say you're going to do something, you're going to meet somebody, you're going to pray for somebody, you're going to do this thing or that thing or the other, and you forget to do it. How many are with me sometimes? But the forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all, are you ready for this? All your iniquities. He forgives. He forgives. He forgives. Look at somebody this morning and say, He forgives. Who healeth all thy diseases. You catch that? His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. Amen. He forgives our iniquities. He heals our disease. Who redeems our life from destruction. You have no idea. You and I have no idea what He kept us from this week. You and I have no comprehension what He delivered us from this very week. Who crowns you with His loving kindness and His tender mercies. Who satisfies the mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 46, 1 and 2. What powerful words we see as we look at His benefits today. Here's one of His benefits. Ready? Psalm 46, 1 and 2. God is. Say, God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change, right? So God is. If the Bible said He was this back then, He is that today. Amen? God is our refuge. God is our strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because God is our refuge. What is a refuge? A refuge is an elevated fortress. It's an elevated fortress. It's a place that you and I can go when there is a time of trouble. When you find yourself in distress, when there's a difficult thing that you're facing, we can go to the refuge. It's an elevated place. You got to get that. It's an elevated place, which means it's above where you are. It's not where you, it's not the mess, but it's above. It's a rising up above, and it's a protection of and in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through in this life. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore, because He is a refuge and because He is a present help, therefore, because He is a refuge and because He is a help, therefore, because He is a refuge, because He is a help, therefore, because He is a refuge and because He is a help, the psalmist said, I will not fear. Now catch this. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Let me just ask you a little question here this morning. In all honesty. If them mountains just picked up and fell over and moved. And everything around us began to crumble. How many think that would cause you to just be a little bit afraid? Huh? You'd think that'd be enough to instill fear in anyone, wouldn't you? But the psalmist said, therefore I will not be afraid. If these things happened, would it not elicit some sort of fear in the heart of most individuals? Yeah, why? Why is the psalmist not afraid? Why is this the very one that said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When he looked out into the valley and he saw that giant of a man, why did he say, why will nobody go out and take care of him? He defies the armies of our God. I'll go. Why was it that the psalmist had that tenacity? Why was it that David did not walk in this realm of fear like we did? When the troops came and took everything from Ziklag, why did David rise up out of the ashes of despair and say, let's go to the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy stole from us? What was in the heart of David that he could say, we're going to the enemy's camp today? Most people want to stay as far away from the enemy's camp as they can because they fear the enemy, right? There are way too many God-loving, God-fearing people that are still fearing the devil. He don't have to fear the devil. He has no power, nor does he have authority over you outside of that which you allow him to have. He has no power or authority under you. The Bible says he's under your feet. In other words, he can't get any lower. He's under your feet. Some people talk about him being on their back. He ain't under my back. He's under my feet. I feel like the enemy's on my shoulders. Well, he's in the wrong place then. The Bible says he's under your feet. He's under your feet. You don't want him on your shoulders. You don't need him on your mind. You don't need him on your back. You don't need to be carrying him around. The scripture says he's under your feet. And the psalmist said, therefore, I will not be afraid because my God is a refuge. He's a high place. He's a high place. He's a place that I can go in the difficult moments. He's a place that I can find safety. He's a place that I can be comforted. He's where I go when things seem difficult. He is my God. He is my refuge. Listen, we live in a very troubled time for a lot of people. Around and about us, we see hatred at rampant levels. People unliking each other. People just miserable and people frustrated with one another, anxiety-filled hearts and minds, lies and untruths being spoken at every turn and every angle. We live in a society today where truth becomes irrelevant for most people, but you and I need to hold the truth because the Bible says truth will set us free. In the midst of darkness, we can walk in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that truth sets us free. Amen. But all around and about us in this life, we see darkness and we see untruths to the point where anymore, and sadly enough, it even happens in the house of God. As long as somebody makes an accusation, and I've got to caution you for a moment to think what the Bible says about accusations. Who is an accuser? The devil. Now listen, I'm just trying to bring some light to you today. I'm not under any scrutiny that I know about. I haven't been accused of anything. I'm not trying to defend myself this morning. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word says. How many of you have ever been accused of something? But I'll tell you this, if you stand on a platform like this and you get behind a pulpit like that, people are going to accuse you of stuff. People are going to accuse you of saying things or doing things or going places. You know, when we stand behind these and we declare the Word, we got to be careful places we go and what we do and what people can assume or make assumptions of as to what we're doing. You know that? You know that to be true. How many of you have ever been accused of something you didn't do? Today we live in a world where it used to be you were innocent until you were proven. Today, all that has to happen is an accusation has to be made. And if an accusation is made, you're guilty. You're guilty. And for the rest of your life, you live down the stigma of the lie, the untruth that was spoken about you. There is an adversary. He's called Lucifer, Satan, the great dragon, Beelzebub. The Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy you. But God is your refuge. God is your ever-present help. So in the midst of hates, lies, murders, shootings, school shootings. Do you know since the school shooting in Florida, we've had over 600 since the school shooting in Florida, over 600 threats made in the public school sector. So over 600. Over 600 cancellations of a school day because of somebody writing a note, somebody sending a letter, somebody scratching something into a bathroom stall. And then saying, oh, it was meant to be funny. When did murder ever become funny? When did taking an innocent life ever become funny? These are serious things. These are serious times. These are serious moments that we find ourselves in. It seems at times, and I try to limit myself from watching the daily news anymore. Everywhere you go, it's violence. Everywhere you turn, it's violence. Worry and stress. I heard an individual say the other day, they're worried about the economy and the unemployment rate. I said, will you stop a minute? Have you not known? Do you not understand that the unemployment rate is at 4% right now? If you don't have a job, it's because you don't want one. It's the truth. I could leave here and before the end of the day, I could have a job. I tell you no lie. You want a job? You can get a job. Oh, well, Pastor, it ain't what I want. I didn't ask if it was what you wanted. I said, if you wanted a job. I've worked a lot of times doing things I didn't want to do. But sure, I had to put food on the table, huh? Because I had to minister to 3 hungry kids every day. And a loving wife. There are a lot of times we worked and did things that we didn't necessarily want to do. How many know what I'm talking about? There are sometimes I work 2 jobs. There were times I'd get up and go to work and work at that place. I'd leave work and go do a funeral on my lunch hour, come back, finish the day, and leave there and head straight to the church. Eat, throwing something down on the way to church to do Bible study that evening. Didn't have the leisure saying, oh, we're going to sit home tonight. You know, that's not good when the pastor says I'm not going. You know, think about that next time you want to miss church. You know, that'd be a pretty bad thing if everybody looked, where's all the pastors? Well, they decide they stay home today. But we see unrest and we see violence and we see discord and we see anger and we see worry and we see stress. And people worry about all kinds. See, I don't worry about my future because my future is secure. I have been born again. I am blood bought. My sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. My future is secure. It's every bit as secure as the fact that I'm standing in front of you today on this platform. My future is secure. I have been redeemed. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's like a command. It's like, do it. It's not like if you feel like it. It's like, go ahead and do it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I will declare the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of Almighty God, because He is my refuge and He is my strength and He is my ever-present help in the time of hatred and lies and murderings and suicides and shootings and violence everywhere we turn. Worry and stress and anxiety about terrorism and all the things that flood our minds through. Our children are more stressed out than they've ever been. Our children are, we have to medicate our kids because they're stressed out over everything. And what's going to happen? Am I going to be able to get a job? Am I going to be able to buy a house? And am I going to be able to have kids? Stop it! Stop it! God is your refuge and your strength. He is your ever-present help in the trouble. Stop worrying about things you ain't got no time to worry about. If you are born again and spirit-filled, you are the apple of His eye. And His word says, when I was young and then I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. That's where I plant my feet. That's where I, Marion, that's where I hunker down, right there. He is my refuge. Oh yeah, the storms may come, but the storms will go. But He is my God, and He will protect me, and He will shelter me. I've just got to hold on to the hem of His garment. I've got to wrestle with Him. I've got to hold on and not let go. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. How many of you walk around all day with that attitude and that mentality in your mind? I'm going to bless you, Lord. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I don't care how bad it is. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to give you honor. I don't care how miserable people are. I'm going to come into your courts with thanksgiving. I'm going to enter your courts with praise. I'm coming to worship you. I'm coming to give you glory. And I'm not just talking about in this house. I'm talking about wherever you go. You know, you could be at work. You say, well, I can't praise the Lord at work. Yes, you can. You don't necessarily have to do it out loud. Man, there's sometimes in my mind I'm going nuts on worshiping the Lord. In places you wouldn't even know I was going crazy on worshiping Him. Just in my mind, God, I bless you. God, I honor you. God, I worship you. God, I need your strength in this moment. God, I need your strength in this hour. Lead me in the pathway of righteousness, God, for your name's sake. Help me, God, in the middle of this valley of this shadow. God, strengthen me through this. God, provide through that. God, make a way through this. Constantly going through my mind. I don't worry about things that a lot of people worry about. I don't, because I've come to know that He's my refuge. I've got some understanding. There's some understanding that's come into my life. Yeah, I've had difficult times in my life. I've had hard times in my life. We've gone through difficult places in our life. But just when we thought we were sinking, He pulled us back up out. Because we kept our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. Jerry, there are times I said, God, I'm going down. I'm going down, but I'm going to keep looking at You. I'm keep looking at You. I got my eyes on You, even if I go down. There have been times in my life I said, God, if I go down, I'm going down praising. God, if I go down, I'm going down worshiping. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep blessing You. I'm going to keep worshiping You, because there's no one like You, and I trust You. Our children are so stressed out today and filled with anxiety. Don't know how to handle stuff. Don't know how to handle situations or difficulties that happen in their life. How many of you ever got up in the morning worrying about something, worried about it all day, went to sleep that night worrying about it? Wrestled with your pillow, kicking the sheets off, kicking the blankets off, pulling them on, kicking them off, flipping the pillow, punching the pillow, fluffing the pillow, can't sleep, tossing, turning. How many have ever been there? Restless nights, huh? I guess I have to ask you this question. Where is your safe place? Let me say it like the psalmist did. Who's your refuge? Because when you understand who your refuge is, you stop wrestling with the pillow at night. You're able to lay your head on the pillow at night. You're able to sleep well because the scripture says He gives us rest. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Listen, in case you don't know it, everybody needs a refuge. Everybody needs, look at somebody some more and say, you need a refuge. But here's even the better thing. Everybody has one. Everybody has one. But you know what, Missy? Sometimes it's the wrong one. Everybody needs a refuge. Everybody has a refuge. But sometimes it's the wrong refuge. I want you to listen to these words in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Man, I wish this place was packed today to hear this message. I hope people tune in like crazy, George, to the website, download this message today. George told me the other day we've had pretty good access to the internet since we changed our website. Huh? Pretty good involvement there. Tell people, encourage them to go on to our website and download the messages and listen. Exodus 20, 1 through 3. And God, our refuge and our strength. He spake all these words. I don't know about you, but I want to know what God said. God said it, I want to know it. I want to know what He says. God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God. We could just go home right there. Because really, you don't need to know anything more than that right there. See, people want to know when He's coming. People want to know when He's going. People want to know everything He's doing. All I want to know at this point in my walk with Him, I know He is the Lord my God. I don't need to know a whole lot of other stuff. He's God. Boop. I was just raised in that time, in that era, where if God said it, that was it, and that settled it. And that's been in my heart since I was 12 years old. God, if You said it, that's it. That's it. Ask my wife, ask my kids, if God said it, that's it. I don't want to hear nothing else, I don't want to receive nothing else, and I certainly ain't going to believe anything else, because if God said it, that's it, that's me. God said it, that's it, boom. But what if? I don't care, God said it. But what if it don't happen? I don't care, God said it. But, if God said it, but what if I can't, what if I don't make enough money? But if God said it, What if I don't get a job? But if God said it, boy, since the other week we prayed for businesses and everything, I've had report after report from a number of businesses that had increased business since that week. I've heard people tell me they've got raises and increases since just a couple of Sundays ago. Remember we prayed that? It's absolutely. Why? Because God is our refuge and He is our strength. He is our source of provision. They don't just give you $2 an hour raise for nothing. Huh? Some of you just don't give you a $300 a week raise for nothing. Some of you don't give you a $1,000 a week raise for nothing. But my God, because when you find favor with God, oh man, I want to preach somewhere. When you find favor with God, you will find favor with men. That's the greatest thing I could tell a young man getting married today. Keep your hand to the plow, loving God, bless God, serve God, worship God. Keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. And if you will do that, the Bible says He will meet every one of your needs according to His riches and His glory. Amen. We have lived it for going on 33 years. We have lived it. 33 years. We talked just the other day about a difficult time in our life and where I made a difficult decision. There was a decision in my life that I had to make. I was very much at a crossroads. I had just taken my first full-time pastorate position, and it was just a small little congregation. The first Sunday morning, there were six people. I asked the deacon when everybody got there. He said, "Pastor, they're here." I looked around and thought, good God. And everything inside of me, Marie, wanted to pastor that church. You couldn't believe it. I thought I was Billy Graham. I'm telling you, I thought I was the next big thing on the planet. I had six people that Sunday morning. And man, I want to tell you what, when 10 or 12 showed up, huh? We walked out of there with our heads high thinking, woo, we had 10 today. Woo! I'm telling you. We didn't care. I didn't care if I preached. I'd drive the whole way to New Florence every Thursday, or was it Tuesday nights? Every Tuesday nights, I'd drive to New Florence and teach a Bible study in a senior citizen center. And I never knew who was going to show up. I go one night, and there's one person there. I preached like the world was coming to an end. Show up next week, there'd be 12. You just never knew. But worshiping God through it all, and serving God through it all, and loving God through it all, and just putting Him as the focus. And we had to make a decision, and I was pastoring this church, but they couldn't really afford to pay us, and I was pastoring it anyway. I didn't care, and so the job I was at ended, and I had to find another source of employment, and found a job, and that job was going to make really good money, and man, they hired me, and they wanted, I was going to start on a Monday. Man, all weekend long, I just was struggling with it. I called the guy early Monday morning, and I said, I feel so bad. I apologize, but I'm going to have to turn down the job. I'm not going to be able to take it. Man, he's, man, we wanted you to come here. And he's telling me how much money I'd make and all this. I said, I know, I understand all that. And I'm thinking to myself in my head, you have no idea, because I could really use everything you're telling me right now. But everything inside of me is telling me I've got to go this direction. And this direction over here, Allison, don't look like it got anything for me. This direction over here looks like it's plumb empty. I mean, it don't have two pennies to rub again another. And this direction over here is providing a lot of nice new stuff. And you know, all the things that we grab onto. And this one over here is looking pretty bare. And I woke up, my wife said to me, "You getting ready for the new job?" I said, I called him and I told him I wasn't taking the job. And I could tell by the look on her face that morning. I could tell by the look, because I know the look on that woman's face. And she just kind of looked at me like, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Susan, I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to go this way." And she said to me, "If that's what God's telling you, then that's the way we'll go." And literally, had we not gone that direction led every step to put me in the right place to be right here today. And had I taken that other place, Joe, I would not have been in the spot I was that got me to the next place, to the next place. And I think we were talking about that, Rachel, and we said, wonder what would happen, what would it have been like if we would have missed God's voice? and gone that direction and not gone that direction. God said, I spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt represented what? What did Egypt represent to the children of God? Bondage. Out, in case you looked ahead, it says it right there. Out of, for those of you that don't look ahead, it was right there. You could have got the answer today. Out of the house of bondage. But I want you to see the latter part of the verse. Thou shalt have no. Say, thou shalt have no. Sometimes you just got to say no. No. I'm not going to have another God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why would you want a God? Why would you want another God except the one who brought you out of bondage? Why would you want to serve another God outside of the one who redeemed you, the one who delivered you, and the one who healed you, and the one who set you free? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So if I say to you this morning, who is your refuge? If I said to you, we're going to go around, and I'm going to ask each one of you individually, which I'm not going to do, but if I said, we're going to go around, I'm going to ask each one of you individually, what is your refuge? What would you say? Oh, no, no, I know what you'd say this morning. Oh, whew. God is my refuge, right? Because I'm encouraging you with that this morning. I'm speaking that, but I'm talking to you in the midnight hour. I'm talking to you about 10, 11 o'clock at night. Who would you say is your refuge and your strength? If you were forced to tell, like George hooked you up to some kind of IV machine that made you tell the truth. What? Who and what? Don't worry, he's not crazy like that. He wouldn't do it. I'm not going Wednesday night. Pastor ain't here. There's no telling what George is going to do. No, it's going to be good. You want to be here. You want to be here. He's not going to hook you up to anything except the Word. He'll hook you up to the Word. But if you were forced today to be honest, honest with yourself and honest before the Lord, and you were asked, where is your safe place? Where is your refuge? You know what we'd get? Money is my refuge. MasterCard is my ever-present help. Money is my refuge. MasterCard is my help. Food is my refuge and my strength. Ice cream and pizza and chips and chicken wings, oh my, are my ever-present help in the time of trouble. Come on, think about it. How many times has money became your refuge? Think about it. How many times has a snack at night become your refuge, your safe place? How many times have chicken wings with the sauce dripping all down your chin become your comfort place? Let me just put it to where you are, comfort food. How many know them Cheryl Douglas chocolate chips talk? You know they talk, Cheryl. They talk. They go, hey, Sean, how you doing, big fella? Did you have a bad day today? Won't you just come on over here and eat some of them cookies? Come on now. You mean tell me Oreos don't talk to you? Huh? Why are you all looking at me like you? Half gallon of Breyers ice cream with Hershey's chocolate syrup. Oh, now I'm talking your language. A freshly baked cinnamon bun with all the sticky stuff on it. A big bag of potato chips. Good God Almighty, you drink all the health juice stuff you want. Why do we go to those things? If we want to be honest, because they comfort us. We find comfort in them, huh? Yeah, we did, and it's temporary, it's momentary. It's but for us, it makes you feel good for a while, and then you wake up in the morning like this. You wake up feeling like a truck ran over you. Because ice cream, pizza, chips, chicken wings, and all these things. And there's nothing wrong with ice cream, chips, and chicken wings. I like all them things. In moderation, they're all fine. But there are times we find the wrong refuge. And I want to tell you something about the wrong refuge, what the wrong refuge will do for you. When you turn to the wrong refuge, it'll cause a distance between you and God. Choosing the wrong refuge will cause a distance between you and God. And when you choose a wrong refuge, what you are doing is you are placing something else in the position of God. And he said, you shall have no other. You shall have no other. And if you put something else in the place, you say, well, yeah, but if you put it in the place of comfort in your life, you've just replaced God with it. Because Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter, the third part of the Godhead Trinity. And what's the third part of the Godhead Trinity do? He comforts us. He is the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Comforter. So when I turn to anything else, James, for comfort, I'm putting something else above God in my life. I've made something else a literal God in my life because it is my comfort. It's become my safe place. How many know what I'm talking about some more? How many just like to find that little safe place away where you can just sit and just gorge yourself, you know? Or whatever it is. It becomes that refuge. I just do it because it can be a lot of the entertainment. I just have to sit and watch a movie and veg. Why? It takes you away. Some people just want to be taken away. How many of you ever just wanted to be taken away? Huh? You just want something just to numb your brain. Something so you don't have to think about it. Something that you can just find that moment. And then when it's over, you go right back to that. You know, in the middle of you, like, and then it ends, you're like, it's because you found a wrong refuge. It's because you went to the wrong place. Because he satisfies your every need. He satisfies your every longing when he has the rightful place in your life. You know, just because you're in the same building with someone doesn't mean you're close to them. Just because you're in the same house with somebody doesn't mean you're close to them. You know, that little dog we got, he's teaching me a lot of stuff. He's teaching me a lot of stuff. There's stuff he does that draws me close to him. There's some stuff he does, I said to Susan, his days are numbered. That dog's days are numbered, I'm telling you right now. It's in those moments when he does those little things that get under your skin or, you know. What I'm saying is, when he does those things, there's a separation. How many know what I'm talking about? When somebody does certain things, there comes a separation. You're watching a movie on TV with your husband, and all of a sudden this really pretty, attractive woman comes on the screen, and he hadn't been paying attention to that TV the whole movie. All of a sudden, he just happened to look up. Boom. And he like had them spring eyes. Boom, boom, boom. And he's just, how's that make you feel, ladies? What it does is it causes a little bit of separation, doesn't it? It does. What are you looking at her like that for? What are you checking her out like that for? It causes a little bit of a separation. You know, when we choose things other than God, it causes a separation between us and him. When we choose other things than maybe the midweek service where we can come and worship God on Wednesday nights versus sitting home and watching whatever the latest, greatest, newest thing is on the television set. And I'm not anti all that stuff. I'm just saying there are times when we have to worship God, times when we have the opportunities to come together and declare his goodness and his grace and his mercy and all those things. We have to look to take those moments, to take those opportunities. And if we don't, we're going to find a wrong refuge. If you're in a relationship, whether you're dating or you're married, and you start looking to somebody else to meet your needs, you've just gone to a wrong refuge. And I'm telling you, don't you think for a moment it won't cause a problem. Let your honey find something on your computer that you didn't want her to see. It'll cause a distance. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have no clue what I'm talking about? How many are just wondering why you're even here this morning? What's going on? How many still trying to figure out whether you moved your clock ahead or not? When you go to the wrong refuge, the wrong place, you're going and putting another God before the one true God. I've heard people say this, I don't feel close to God. I don't feel close to God. I got something powerful to tell you. He didn't move. He didn't move. If you don't feel close to God, it's not because God moved, it's because you moved. It's not because he moved, I moved. God don't move. What do you go through for your comfort? What do you go to? Do you go to something? Or do you go to the comforter? Do you go to the comforter? The one who came to comfort you. The second thing that it causes is disappointment. When you go to things, places, people, you'll come away disappointed. You come away empty, sometimes even depressed. If you go to the wrong refuge, you'll walk away depressed. You know, the Bible says Satan comes as an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light. In other words, he appears to be good. He pretends to be a roaring lion. That's why we're afraid of him. But remember, where should he be? Under our feet. He masquerades as light when he's truly darkness. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light. He pretends to be a comforter. Let me comfort you with this. Let me comfort you with that. Well, just watch this and you'll be comforted. Just go in the privateness of your bedroom and watch this and you'll be comforted. Go to the kitchen and get that and you'll be comforted. It's okay. Nobody else is going to know. Oh, you deserve it. Go ahead. It's okay. It's okay. Come on. Come on. And then you got that like little bad devil and the little good angel. Don't go. Shut up. He's going to lead you down the wrong path.
No, I won't. Be quiet.
Am I the only one that's ever had battles like that in my mind? Y'all looking at me like, do you really? Do you really hear voices in your head, Pastor? Well, not literally, but has something ever spoken to you? You got to have it. And the more you think about it, how many of you know the more you think about it, the more you want to have it? The enemy says, oh, it's all right. You know, he don't treat you right anyway. If he treated you like he should be treating you, then you wouldn't be looking at that. If she treated you the way she was supposed to be treating me, then you wouldn't be checking that out. If everything was going right in your life, you wouldn't need to be doing this. If God really loved you, you would have comfort. You would have strength. But God must not love you, so come to me and I will comfort you. That's what the enemy tries to do. And he masquerades it as comfort. He masquerades it as something good. But it'll lead to destruction. I'm going to ask the worship team to go back. I'm going to close right there. I've got a lot more to say, but I just felt the Holy Spirit said to me, I want to close with this, and I'm going to pick back up with this the next time. I'm going to close with this, but I'm going to pick back up the next time. There are people that turn to a needle for comfort. There are people that turn to a pill for comfort. There are people that turn to sexual activity for comfort. There are people that will turn to pornography for comfort. There are people that will turn to a cigarette for comfort. Oh. Have mercy. People turn to caffeine for Now I went to messing with you real fast, didn't I? You're like, preacher, we don't. I haven't done that for 2 hours. What are you talking about? Some of you get that later. Caffeine. Oh, God. Oh, God. Double mocha latte, whatever. Give me a double shot of whatever it is you put in there. And put some extra whipped cream on that, too. I've known people. I've worked with people. Don't talk to me. Why? I haven't had my coffee yet. Gotta have my caffeine. Gotta have my caffeine. Why? Because it comforts me. It comforts me. My coffee is my ever-present help in the time of trouble. And my Starbucks is an ever-present help. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for Starbucks. Thank you. And some people turn to alcohol for a comfort. And for a refuge. But only God will ever be your refuge. Only God will ever be your strength. God will be your refuge. God will be your strength. Don't worry about things you're worrying about. Don't get caught up in the things that you're getting caught up in. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Think on the things that God says. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. I can do all things. Through Christ that strengthens. This ain't ever going to work. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Why? Because he's my refuge and he's my strength. He's my ever-present help in the time of trouble. I don't need to go to these addictive things that are only going to cause me addiction or harm. And I'm not against Starbucks or tea or anything like that. I'm just asking you just very simply today, where do you find comfort? I know where I find comfort sometimes. I know where I find it sometimes. Now I really got your attention because you tell us. We would like to know, Pastor, where do you find your comfort? It's none of your business. You don't have to. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Had a stressful day. Where's them chips? We've all been there, haven't we? But we have to ask ourselves, we're really, really, in all seriousness, and sometimes we just like to eat. Let's be honest. Sometimes we just like to eat. But at the end of the day, what really do we look for our comfort? Where do we really go for our safe place? That's the important thing. And that's where I want to leave you today. That's where I want you to leave here pondering that today. And we'll talk about how it can lead to disappointment, and there's some other things I want to share with you beyond that. But we're going to leave today with, where do you find your comfort? I want you to think about that. Bow your heads with me today. Father, today, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, God, every one of us here today have turned to something other than you at some point or another. There have been times in our lives that we've turned to a person. We've sought affection, physical relationship, all because we've desired comforting. When yet we've not turned to you, the true comforter. There have been times in our life, Lord, that we've turned to a lot of different things simply because we're looking for something. Something's missing. And the whole time, Jesus, you said the comforter would come. You said he would be with us to comfort us, to lead us. But too many times in our life, we do not look to the comforter. We're just looking to be comforted. And in those moments when we struggle the most and we feel the loneliest or the most desperate, we'll run to anything or grab hold of anything that seems to soothe us for the moment. You give us joy unspeakable, your word says, and full of glory. Your joy does not disappoint. Your comfort does not disappoint. But Lord, when we turn to other things in this life or other people to satisfy a longing that only you can fill, we come away empty. We come away disillusioned. And then sometimes we even become bitter and hard. And all the while, we don't even understand. We've misplaced our trust. We've not gone to the rock of our refuge. We've not gone to you, the very present help. Very, very present. You say it like that, and you've inspired the psalmist to say very present because you never leave us, nor do you forsake us. You're right there. You're very present. As very present as my heart is in my body today, you are very present. As very present as the lungs are in my body, you are every bit as very present. Father, I thank you for that today. I hope we've gained some wisdom today. I hope we've gained some understanding today. And I hope when we leave this place today, we'll have a greater awareness of going to you to comfort us. When we have those longings or those emptinesses or those desires, to come and say, God, what's really lacking here? What's really lacking? I pray that you help each one of us to ask those questions. What am I really missing? What am I really lacking? What's going on here, God? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? I want to trust you as my refuge. I want to trust you as my strength. I want you to lead me and you to guide me. I want you to be my ever-present help. And Father, I know without a shadow of a doubt, that's exactly what you'll do because that's who you are. You're a good, good Father. We bless you today. I pray your strength upon each one that's here this morning. Lord, I ask today that as you realign us today, you bring us back into the rightful place where we should be with you. God, that we'll walk out of this place today feeling encouraged and strengthened, uplifted. Father, I pray today we'll share the good news that we carry in our hearts with someone today, someone that may be struggling or someone that may be going through a difficult place, that we would be able to say to them, we have a refuge. We have a strength, and we have a helper. Help us today to share the good news. Bless your people today, I pray. Bless their rising and their sitting, their coming and their going. Father, I pray your blessing upon every home and every family here today. Break the chains of sickness. Break the chains of bondage. Break the chains of helplessness and despair. Break the chains of hopelessness. I'm asking you today, Father, to heal, to deliver, and to set free. I pray today a hope will spring up inside of us because you are our hope. I give you praise in Jesus' name.